big thing I want you to know up front here is that we have a tendency to worry about things that will probably never happen in our life. And it's because we're micromanaging every moment of our life rather than staying focused on the big picture. You know, so just remember that a lot of the things we worry about moment by moment are probably never going to happen. I know people who worry about worrying. Talk about really being stressed out. Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of a Stressful Life. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So, listen, I've got a very interesting piece I want to share with all of you today, and 20 tips you need if you're, well, busy, which, of course, we're all busy, right? And stressed. And, of course, those two are not necessarily have to be related. You can be busy and calm, cool, and collected, or maybe not. Right, Dr. Faye?
Right, absolutely. You can be busy and stress-free.
And stress-free, right? Yeah, all right. So our co-host today, Dr. Faye Wilson, is here. She's an author, inspirational speaker, ordained minister, and underdog advocate. Missy Crutchfield, co-founder of Gandhi's Bee Magazine and of Gandhi Global Center for Peace. Taz Thornton is here. Taz is a best-selling author, UK's number one inspirational breakthrough speaker. And we are going to talk to you about a stress-free life. You almost want, Missy, when you talk about this kind of a topic, you almost want to start meditating or something. Is it because don't you meditate?
I do. It's difficult for me. I love yoga. I love the physical, the asanas, practice of yoga. But meditation and mindfulness is also another piece, very important aspects of yoga, not just the physical practice. And that's my biggest challenge, is to quiet the mind and meditate.
It's hard to quiet our minds, Missy. When think about it, Missy, if we're as busy as we are and trying to do the big things we're doing, it's sometimes hard to quiet our minds, isn't it? Right?
Often.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes I just want to, you know, you get so busy and crept up at the moment, you just need to disconnect from all of it. I don't know. There's something. Yeah. Taz, how do you do this? Do you stay, do you meditate, first of all? Do you meditate at all? Or
I do. Pretty much every day.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Now, how long do you meditate for, love?
Just as long as it takes my hair to turn pink, because that's why it's pink. It's the meditation.
See, what talent you have. Now, you do that without even going to the beauty salon, huh? That's amazing.
No,
amazing.
Don't pay for it, meditate to pink.
I knew you were a witch, Taz. I knew it. There it is.
Joking aside, I try to take out anywhere. You know, if I'm really busy, you can spend just a minute meditating, but people get really wound up and thinking they can't meditate. There's so much BS out there. Everybody tries to get to that point of nothing. And you know, I got there once to that point of nothing and then went, yeah, I've got it. And of course that was ruined. It's not about getting to nothing. It's just holding on to one thing. So anyone listening who's thinking, yeah, I need to meditate, but I can't, I would say, have you ever been in love? And if they say no, I say, well, have you ever been really, really pissed off with someone? And everybody says yes to that, you know, and that's all it is. You know, if you're really either in love or at the opposite end of the spectrum, it doesn't matter what else you try and think of, your mind always comes back either to the apple of your eye or to the person that's getting on your wick. And that's really what meditation is. It's holding on to that one thing. And it doesn't matter if that is your breathing, if it's just meditating on attracting something into your life, whatever it is, it's just focus on one thing. And we make it sound far more difficult than it is.
We do. A lot of it is this multitasking business, because it's hard.
Such thing. You can't multitask. It's a myth.
You know, there is something to that, actually. I agree. I think I agree with you. Listen, in the corporate world, we did a lot of bragging, the multitaskers and everything else. But, you know, you become disconnected and kind of disillusioned as well, ladies. And you know, Taz, I like what you say because of this. It's like, before I come on today with you, see, I always want to make it the very best it can be. Now, the one thing you learn is that perfectionism is not really achievable, and you shouldn't worry about trying to achieve that. That's another lesson of life you learn here. But excellence is achievable. You see, there's a difference between excellence and perfectionism. Now, I had the perfectionism disease. You know, you guys know that. I mean, I'm a crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So I had that disease for a while, actually. And you have to learn to, well, you can only sort of moderate it, and then you realize that excellence is the goal. But before you engage in the process of whatever you're going to do next, like for me, this show with you ladies, it's about focusing on this moment. It's about, there's something to me that has not escaped. Dr. Faye, comment on what I'm speaking about because of this. It's very important for me to take in the moment of whatever it is we're doing. So this is interesting to me, but the moment never escapes me. So if I'm out with some very fascinating people, I always sort of step out of the room and I look back. You've heard me say this before, ladies. I tend to look back at 30,000 feet into the room. I have a tendency to do that in my life. And what it is, I'm trying to take that moment in, because here's the way I look at it, ladies, is that moment will never be repeated again. You see? So the conversation we're having right now at this very moment of time of existence with the three of us and talking about this will never be repeated again. You see?
Right.
Yeah, that's what makes this moment special. Think about this, people. Think about this. And so if you take on every moment of your life in that way, and you're able to step out of it and really appreciate the moment, I think you get a lot out of that. So, Dr. Faye, as I started to set that up for you, and I don't know what this means in regards to even faith or life, but I tend to do that throughout my life in whatever moment I'm in, to say, okay, Malcolm, chill, step out of it. Just grab your little Bobby socks and knock it off, will you? And you say what?
Yeah. I say what you're describing is being present. Being present, being in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think about now faith is, not was, not shall be, but in the moment. And that's where our power is. It's not in the past, because the past doesn't exist. And all we have is the now. And to be present with whomever we're communicating with, that is where we are at our best. That's where we shine. We don't shine when we're multitasking. We don't. We just think we do. That's an illusion. It's a lie. We think we're doing a lot of things well at one time, but we're not. I think about God in the beginning, and there was one thing that God focused on for that day, not the sixth day, but the one day, seeing the end from the beginning and staying in that moment. And we're able to move forward one step at a time, not just taking giant leaps. There's no such thing as a giant leap. We get to what we think is a giant leap because we took one small step in the moment.
Yeah.
Well, you know, being present is what I get out of that. Missy, when we talk about being present, I'm thinking about a lot of the scatterbrains in my life who sometimes you want to whack them upside the head. Now, I know that's violence. You can't really do that. But, you know, in your mind, you kind of do that.
Yeah.
You understand? Like, get a life. Will you, Fred? All right, got it.
One
but sometimes these people are just never present. I mean, and sometimes you can look at people back to back to Taz's point a moment ago, sometimes you can look at somebody's eyes and you actually wonder if anybody's even home, Missy. Yeah?
I don't wonder.
Is anybody home there?
The lights are on.
So, about being present, Missy, how do you do that in your own life? Now, you have a lot of moving pieces. You're trying to do a lot of heavy lifting. You're looking for, you know, I think my guess is you're looking for the where you can make the biggest impact. That's my guess, like the golden opportunities. I think we all should be doing that, actually. But so where can I make the biggest impact? So how do you be present within this crazy life of yours?
It's part of that meditation. It's part of that constant exercise that all I have is this moment right now. All I have is today. All I have is me. And if I can change me, if I work on me, then the rest of the world just kind of adjusts itself because I'm looking through my filter. I'm looking through my life. I'm living through my life, and everything that I'm experiencing is reacting to the way I'm living my life. So that's why Gandhi said, we've got to be the change. My life is my message. So when we fix ourselves or we change ourselves, we adapt, hopefully positively, because we know negatively when we start chasing that, how everything just falls apart. That perfect storm, and it all, because it does. When you either positive or negative, it's contagious. You draw that, you draw that, you attract that, the law of attraction. And I know Taz talks a lot about that. So you just keep reminding yourself that just stay positive, stay in this moment, and you breathe. When I get angry, that's the one thing I'm so many things thankful for about yoga. But the practice and the regular practice of yoga has taught me that when I get frustrated, I just naturally exhale, and it works. You just breathe, and it works.
So does. So works.
That is pretty well said, Taz. So I'm just listening to Missy. That is pretty well said. You know, Taz, when you look through a kaleidoscope, you know the kaleidoscope that you know?
Yeah,
you hold, okay. That kaleidoscope comes to my mind as Missy was talking about this. I kind of seen a kaleidoscope where you put it up and you kind of get all of these weird symbolic things. It's kind of like looking through life. So how do we relate to the kaleidoscope? I have this visual of seeing you on stage, Taz, right now with that absolutely gorgeous pink hair of yours.
Thank you.
Talking about the pink kaleidoscope, okay? And so, like, you pick there's a whole speech here where you pick the kaleidoscope up and you know, this is kind of how you get your magic or your ammunition, or you're looking through life through a kaleidoscope. What happens when you look through a kaleidoscope?
What happens when you look through a kaleidoscope is you get bombarded with lots of pretty pictures and lots of pretty images, and you have no idea what to look at first. So all you can do is stand back, look at the whole picture as one, and just examine the beauty of it. And that's kind of what we need to do with life. Instead of, you know, try it. If we're feeling that we're being bombarded with everything and we're feeling overloaded, sometimes we need to just take a step back and say, wow, instead of, I've got so many things to do and I feel so overloaded, wow, isn't it amazing that I have all these opportunities, all these things that I can play with, that I can do with. But, you know, just to flip that on its head for a second, there's some great stress relieving tips that we're going to be talking about today. But I just want to inject in this little bit of common sense here. We're getting too obsessed with being stress-free. You know, sometimes a little bit of stress is good. If we had absolutely no stress, we wouldn't get off our backsides. We need to recognize the difference between positive stress and feeling overloaded. So to put that into context, you know, I write this weekly column for America Out Loud. So imagine, Malcolm, if I had absolutely no stress about that. You'd never get any words from me. You know? There's got to be a balance.
Yeah, and it's funny because I remember you sent one like a week ago or something like that, or 2 weeks recently, and said, this may be not my best work. And I read it and I said, oh my God, I think it's brilliant. We'll run this. Perfect, you know? And it's funny. She sends her, says, well, I don't know if this is my best work, Malcolm, but please take a look at this. And, you know, I'm a little on low today. And I read it and I just thought, anyways, it was really, really good. It's funny how sometimes you do something like that and you put the work out there and you don't really know what you got. And it could be absolutely brilliant. Yeah, it's perspective.
Perspective. That's another thing I talk about. Sometimes your mediocre might be somebody else's brilliant. It depends where you are and where they are. So you just got to trust that what comes in the moment is what we've got. Exactly what we've just been talking about. This is what I have now.
Exactly.
So you make the most of it and you say thank you. Yeah. That's it. Simple.
Okay, so let me say thank you, Taz. I'm saying
you're
thank
welcome.
You. Okay.
Thank you.
Gotta say thank you. All right, let's get into this list here, please, for everybody. The 20 tips you definitely need if you're always busy and stressed. But there's some real good lessons in here, ladies, I think, is what I was looking at here. And I want to start right at the beginning, if you don't mind. It's a good place to start.
Bring them on, Malcolm.
That's it. So the first one, have a brain dump. Now, this one I totally get, where you can jot down stray thoughts as they occur to you so you can revisit them later. Now, I do this very frequently, and I've got to capture all these notes and thoughts and ideas so I can revisit them, because there are so many brilliant ideas, and the key is to distill those brilliant ideas and determine which ones I'm going to put the energy in and which ones I have the time to develop. You know, There was a program I did years ago, Taz, that I got to bring back out, and it was called The 10 Costly Mistakes. And they were the 10 most costly mistakes in life, I thought, you know? And I actually was so excited about it at the time. I went and got the website and everything else, and then I had to put the project on hold because life happened, you know what I mean? And I've got so many things like that you say. So, but the point is, you've got to capture this stuff, and you also got to jot down these random ideas. How many of you do that throughout the course of an evening? Like, whatever you go with to bed, whatever you go to sleep with at night, the night before, and the memories and the thoughts you have, they tend to rattle around in your brain throughout the evening and your consciousness when you're sleeping, that you come up and in the morning you can actually solve a couple of problems. You think?
Well,
Anybody try that?
I have a couple of different exercises I do there that
Cool.
means I do brain dumping, but in a different way. So every night, and this is actually something I learned through the kind of personal development side of all that time I spent working with shamans and medicine people. And at the end of the day, every night before I go to sleep, I do something called recapping the day. You know, we can't change what's happened in the day, but we can change the energy around it in terms of the way it sits within us. So I work backwards. I go through the entire day, can do it in like 5 minutes, if that, right from, well, I just got into bed, and before I did that, I cleaned my teeth, and then I'd walked up the stairs. And you go back through everything that happened in your day. And if you find something and you think, oh, I don't like the way that played out, you just replay it in a different way in your mind.
You know, I
So
like
that,
that. I like
yeah, by the
that.
time you go to sleep, you've got rid of all the crap about it. And in terms of brain dumping, you know, I make notes on my iPhone, I make voice notes, things like that. But I have a journal that sits next to my bed, and there's a big sticker on the front that says Taz's Brain Dump Journal. And I do not allow myself to use it for anything else. No shopping lists, no notes from calls with a coaching client, nothing like that. Every morning, if I wake up on one of those mornings, you know, sometimes you have a morning and you feel really overloaded. I pick up a pen and I just write. I don't think what I'm going to write. I just write until it's all gone. I vomit all over the page, and that clears me for the day. So I journal, I brain dump, but not quite in the way that the article prescribes.
Well, the evening time is really a good thing at night when you sort of revisit your mind for all the things that happened that day and all the things that you might want to take on a little differently, maybe improve. Faye, do you do that? Missy, do you do that?
Yes,
Yeah, you do that as
I
well.
do. Yes, I have my journal, and anything that comes to me that I want, I just try to write it down. If I don't have my hands on my journal, I certainly make myself a note on my phone or my iPad to get to it later, because I think we should make appointments with our days. It's a gift that we
Oh, I
have the
like
day.
that.
Whatever you that came through you during the night, many times I wake up with an idea for an article or a show or you know, some project that I'm working on. I have clarity early in the morning for some reason, 3 or 4 a.m. I have clarity. And so when I saw the what to do about stress and not to bring work into the bedroom, I thought, well, no, I actually do that, I guess, in a way, because I have to have my journal with me. I have to have some way to communicate, because sometimes in the middle of the night, you think you'll remember, because years ago, I would always say, oh, I'll remember that tomorrow.
Never do. It's like trying to
And the
remember a
next
dream,
day,
isn't it? No,
I know.
I'll talk about it in the morning. It's gone, 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 gone.
Yeah, that's good, Faye.
I will
That's
go,
good.
now, what was that?
Sometimes with a problem, and I'll just ask, I'll pray, I'll ask, I'll send it up to God or the universe, whatever you know, reach out to whoever you are, and you pray, right? So I call out to that energy, that, you know, universe, and I say, you know, God, show me an answer, show me, reveal in my dreams, let me, you know, so that when the morning I will understand more deeply. And it almost always, probably always does, but I don't always get it because I'm human and I'm very imperfect. But, you know, most of the time, and I wake up in the morning, and then you write it down quickly while your brain's still in alpha, so you're still, you know, really connected to that other side, that energy, you know, when you're sleeping, that part of your consciousness, excuse me. And then, you know, I'll look over it throughout the day, and there's more often than not, there are just keys all over the place to ways to deal with an issue and to find deeper insight into a problem. And it works for me.
Well, I want to share something with you all, please, and I want to share it with our listeners just before we pause here. And this was a very interesting email I received in earlier this month, a couple of weeks back or so, and I get a lot of emails in. I don't always have a chance to respond to them all, but I received this email in, and this was sent, I'll tell you who it was from after I read it to you, but I got this in, and it said, Malcolm, I have no idea why I wrote this or what it is for, but here goes. And let me read this to you, okay, ladies? Since coming to the America Out Loud Network, I have once again come to know how deeply we are in need of more messages of hope, personal development, and inspiration. On the surface, it appears everywhere we turn, there are words of hate, fear, hopelessness, and despair. Yet, inside of my soul, I know there is so much more. There is a sound louder than the evening news, a sound louder than poverty and distress, a sound louder than riots and bigotry, a sound louder than celebrities and political figures. This sound is louder than all of the other disturbing sounds. It is the sound of America Out Loud. The sound pierces the darkness and allows the light of human decency and common sense to spring forth. It is the sound that allows me to be me. Not the me that the world created, but the one God ordained and sanctioned. It is the sound that marks the creation of a new era in humanity. A new era in communications is one that exposes and often stills the tyranny of political agendas. Very interesting email. And, I get a lot of communications in, but this one kind of touched me in a way. I'm going to pick up the rest of that message and tell you who sent that into the network. In just a moment, we'll be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Now, the reason I bring that email up is because we talked about sometimes we have to send some thoughts, we have to get them down, and we have to share some inner thoughts that come to us. This is one of those, you obviously read this message and you realize this is somebody who wanted to get this off their chest. And they wanted to send it in to make it to be known. Let me finish this correspondence with you. It goes on to say, it is not as subdued as some would hope or as religious as others would propose. Yes, its presence is undeniable. What or who would have thought there would come a day that the systems of this world would surrender to nothingness? I am not shaken over the news because I have known all along it was fake. The only reality we have is the one we create from within. The America Out Loud Network allows one to create their own reality. We bring messages, but we also are open to receive messages. What are your thoughts, dreams, visions, desires? Who are you? And where do you want to go? Everyone has a network. We want ours to be yours. This network is making a mark that can never be erased. It's penetrating the darkness of perceived division and raising the standard for acceptance and tolerance through programming that empowers and motivates humanity. It is about time we decide who and what we will accept and who and what we will believe. There are many choices in programming. We are persuaded that focused and targeted programming for the good of all will reach billions of people around the world, right here on America Out Loud, the People's Network. Well, this message came into me, ladies, through an email, since we're talking about all these brain dumps and interesting messages, and, you know, and it kind of is relevant to some of the conversation here. And who sent that into us but none other than Dr. Faye Wilson? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that came in a couple of weeks back, and I saved it, Dr. Faye. I had not had a chance to talk to you about it. But you remember sending that in, yes?
I remember as you were reading it, I remember that morning. It was very early. Yeah. And I just felt the power and the presence of what we were doing. And it was a time that the network, we were internally going through some changes that were positive. And I felt this overwhelming appreciation and gratitude. As we know that we, at season two, we're moving into our final weeks and to our finale, but we created a sisterhood and a bond, and our messages have gotten so much stronger. And this show today that we're doing about de-stressing our lives, this has been a way for many of us to let the silent voices be heard. That releases stress. Many of us were not using our voices the way God intended. For me personally, it has taken a load of stress off of my life because I can be here and bring the energy bar and intentional. And I'm saying these things with tears in my eyes because I know the power of the voices inside of this network. And I have such an appreciation for each of you ladies and for Malcolm and the work that we're doing. This is a revolution and we're all involved, regardless of the level of involvement, whether we're co-hosting columnists or co-hosting together with or co-hosting our own shows, we are making a difference around the world. And I want the audience to know, those who support us, we don't take it lightly. For everyone who tunes in to any of the shows, we don't take it lightly, because we know that once you're stretched through this network, you can never go back to where you were.
Yeah. Good words, Dr. Faye. Good words.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing, of course, to hear that it is really a family, is what's happened, Faye. It's become a very interesting, eclectic group of fascinating people, you know? And that's what I see more than anything. We get compliments in every day about this family. People say, wow, you have assembled quite the parade of people over there. I hear that all the time, all the time. And they
take it as a compliment, Malcolm.
Oh, it's a big one. It's a big one. And they're just amazed with the unique talent and the people and the intelligence, Taz, you understand? You know, the eclecticness of the people and the uniqueness of the diversity of the people. That's what's unique about it. So anyways, I think that's worth sharing. And it is very interesting. There's a lot of special things to happen from these conversations. And you know, listen, our listeners chime in all the time about this show. This show has been tremendous, Faye. I'll tell you, people speak up all the time about these women and how extraordinary this program is. And I got a lot of people around the world praying for me as well, that I can tolerate all these women at one time, by the way. So at least I got more prayers for me, global prayers, you know. So they say, how do you do it? I said, how the hell do I know? We do it. So anyways.
I don't need it now, boy.
We're doing it. So I love it. No, it really is. It's a pleasure to have so many beautiful voices and just terrific spirits involved in this conversation. You know, my whole mode, ladies, is to, I want people to be heard. So Taz, when I talk about people and the uniqueness of people, and I know you appreciate this, because I know your soul, I know who you are, and as you know who I am, and as I do this, to me it's important that I'm not looking for a popularity contest of people who agree on every aspect of life. I'm looking for people that are true to themselves and who they are and can honor that. So we are very respectful of all these opinions. So I'm on with all kinds of people that, do I agree with all these? Of course I don't. What does that mean? Does that mean anything? Of course it doesn't mean anything. Of course, what does that mean? So that's the difference between the extremists and those who it's their way or the highway, or they just want to push their views down your throat, versus those who are open-minded to knowing that the world is full of a beautiful collection of people and the diversity of people, and those voices should be heard. What do you say to that?
I say otherwise, you know, we've all read or at least know the concept of 1984. So you look at that piece of George Orwell work and you run in the opposite direction, laughing your head off and celebrating every moment. And that's what you do so perfectly with this network, Malcolm.
Wow, that's well said. That's well said. Yeah, that is
good.
Really well said. Well, it's awesome anyway. So that's what we're doing here. It's important to get that out there. Anyways, I want to get back to this list here of the 20 tips you definitely need if you're always busy and stressed. And one of those tips is clearly to come to America Out Loud, friends, if you haven't picked up that message yet. And see what's definitely going on exactly. But anyways, so number two, I don't do number two, ladies. And I'm not talking about taking potty. I'm talking about number two on this list here. I think I need to qualify that when I say that. Malcolm, oh my God, you're beyond that. You're like, you're a goddess. You don't even do that? Man.
No, never.
Never.
I'm just rose hips and hibiscus.
Pure, pure, pure. That's all. Yeah, yeah. All right. Now you know we're full of it, right? So, but this number two, have a to-do list, or I don't do the to-do list. I for me, it's a little lame. I don't do that. I'm kind of used to years ago, but I kind of know in my crazy mind. My list is a mental list. I know what I got to do. Now, talk to me. Do you all need a list? Do people still, I think that's important for a lot of people, or not? The to-do
I'm
list.
I'm like you. I have one in my mind, but it's not a to-do list. It's a get-done list.
Exactly.
But I know that lots of other people, I mean, my wife, Asha, bless her, she can't do anything without a to-do list. I think I see things written down, and that actually pushes my stress buttons, because suddenly it's feel overwhelming. Maybe that's my years in corporate, where I used to deliberately keep a really long list and keep it in view. The same things were on that for months.
That's funny.
It's intention for me.
Well, I can see you walking in the next room and say, would you please put that damn list away?
Yeah,
and you're making me crazy.
No, I don't need a list. Put it away. Put it away. You get stressed out looking at me, though. So what have you got on today? Oh, a few things. Where's your list? In my head.
See, that's how I do it. I don't know why. Missy, do you use a written list, love? Does that help you?
I love the feeling of crossing it out, you know, the done, yes.
Yeah, I thought you might, because you kind of go through that checklist, and I could tell you would be, and a lot of people use that. Faye, do you use one as well?
I use a structured list. I there are three main things that I have on my list every day.
Okay.
And everything else plays around that. And I have to, and I think it's because of we each have to do what we need to do where
exactly.
We are in our at the time in our lives. I'm a caretaker for my dad, and I have a sister who has health issues. So any of those things call me away. So I have to have a place where I must return. Okay, this is where I stopped. So I pick up from that so that I can continue my
So
life.
It helps you. It helps you clearly do the things you need to do.
Yeah, it helps me to make an appointment with myself.
Yeah, a lot of people do that, and I totally get it. I guess I'm a bit unstructured in that way, and being a creative guy. Now, remember, I'm a creative guy, ladies, okay? Yes. So I'm a right brain guy. I'm a visionary. I kind of see what a lot of people don't see. That's always been my weirdness, being a visionary, not so much as a magic trick, but I'm not a structured person in that way. So it's just the way I'm wired, I guess, you know. But we all are wired a little differently, and I know a lot of people rely on those lists. I think my mom used to do those lists as well, like do this, do that, do the other. But hey, it's good if it works for you, of course. Everybody has to find their thing. And again, this whole thing is about being stressless. So if it's, you know, helps you have less stress by having that list, then you do it. If it doesn't, then you don't. And that's what you got to decide is what works best. The third one on this is to I like this third one, reframe commitments from I have to, I want to, and I get to because of your schedule. So you're always going to, I guess this is kind of maybe, is this a form of procrastination, ladies? Or what is this here? This part of it here, do you think? I don't know.
I think it's trying to help people take joy in what they do.
If it's not joy, if you really can't shift that, I've got to do this, you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, either find something else or outsource it to somebody who would have the I get to mentality. Either find a way to shift it or just don't do it.
Yeah.
Life's too short.
Exactly, yeah. Number four, set alarms for yourself so you don't have to keep an eye on the clock. And of course, this is probably helpful for anybody that needs, especially if you get lost in time management. Time management is a whole nother conversation, folks.
Yeah.
It's, you know, managing time that can be a real bugger, you know. I think for a lot of people. Who has the biggest difficulty managing time on the show here today?
I'm not too bad with it.
No, you're pretty good with it.
No,
And Missy, you do pretty good with it too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I had to learn. I used to be terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I remember in the corporate world, You can imagine me in my fancy little office with artwork all around. We had all the people and employees and people there. And I never had a desk. Again, I don't like structure, back to that. So I didn't have a desk. I had like comfortable chairs around just to sit and talk. That was my idea of, you know, just again, my idea is to just talk and have conversation and bring people out. And that's what I always did in that world as well. But I remember people used to come for an appointment at the door, and my personal assistant would come in, and Eleanor, and she would say, "Malcolm, such and such is here." And if I wasn't ready for them, I'd always say to her, "Okay, well, tell George to take his right hand and put it on the left cheek of his ass and hold it there. I'll be with him as soon as I can."
Yeah.
Well, she would just bust up laughing, I'll tell you.
I bet she would. The interesting thing for me with time management, you know, I'm well known for frequently being a little bit tardy if I've got appointment. I'm frequently, I've left it a bit too late, particularly if Ash and I are both trying to get out at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that as being the same thing as time management. I think I may be a little bit like you in this regard, Malcolm. When I was still in corporate land, you know, I wouldn't care if somebody comes in at, you know, 10 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock, so long as the work gets done. I don't care. Exactly. If somebody can get all of their commitments done in 3 hours, mm-hmm. fine, go home. I mean, I had to stop letting people out earlier eventually because the people in the sales departments were really complaining about it. But for me, I'd love to have a world where in the kind of working environment, you don't have set hours as such. Yeah, sometimes you're going to have appointments you need to stick to. But instead of having, this is the time I have to turn up at work and this is the time I'm allowed to leave, these are the tasks I have to get accomplished within this time frame. And then, you know, it's up to you when you pick them up or put them down. I think that would get rid of a lot of these. You know, sometimes we're going off topic a little bit now, but sometimes you get issues with an employee in a workforce where they think they're just being paid to turn up at a certain time and sit at the desk playing solitaire and then go home at a certain time. It would get rid of all of that. Just give people responsibilities instead of a time frame, and hey, life gets easier.
Well, because they run their life by the clock when they do that. Yep. There are those, you know, they punch a clock, Taz. So they punch in at 8 or 9 and they leave at 5, you know. Yeah. I've never punched a clock in my life. I would have no idea what that's about, you know. No idea. I mean, I work all kinds of hours, working at whatever hours that I'm thinking. You're alive, you're working. But when your life is your work and your work is your life and you appreciate what you're trying to do and do the heavy lifting, it's easier, ladies. It's easier, you know.
It is.
Then you're not
so long as you're doing work that you enjoy.
Totally.
Rather than becoming a slave. Yeah.
Totally, yeah. Well, so the list of 20 again, we got to move this along. But number 5, consider waking up early to fit in a relaxing morning routine that will set your day off right. It's always important to get up in the morning and get started right. And a lot of the times it's the mindset you put yourself in, people. So you got to try to do that. And again, you know, you always hear those stories about, you know, have a banana, have something healthy in the morning. But it really is about the mindset and the way you start the day. Mm-hmm. I like to shut the technology off in the morning, and I like to focus on what I got to do. And I can't be bothered. Everybody wants to keep bothering you, you know, that kind of thing, you know. Then you never get the real work done, right? So sometimes you got to shut that off. Like a lot of people say they have an open door policy. I never like the open door policy because what that means is people can come in and dump their problems on you. I'm not an open door policy kind of guy. Deal with your own stuff. Don't give me your problems. And let me know when you want to come in and I'll make it. I don't like dropping company at a moment's notice. I'm not into that drop-in thing, you know. You know what I mean? Do you guys like people just dropping in your life, like,
no.
Or whatever?
No, that's
crazy, isn't it?
No, and there's an interesting point with mindset there, and this is a tip I got from another coach a while back. If I have someone who's kind of on an ongoing program with me, for instance, and they have this real burning issue, I used to make it my business to be able to reply to them immediately. And sometimes it got too much, and it got to be a drain on my resources. Mm. So now I sometimes have a personal policy to not reply to something like that for at least 24 hours because that gives people a responsibility back. Sorry. And 9 times out of 10, then by the time you get back to them, they've already sorted it out themselves. It stops you becoming a crutch, and it gives them the responsibility back.
That's it. Very good. Very well said. Yeah. Well, listen, on this list, we're going to continue on forward here. And we'll do this number 6. I just want to plant this with you. Remember that not everything needs a reaction right away. That may be true, but the fact that we have to go to pause right now does need a reaction. We'll be back in a moment. Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com.
For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, so we're back with Life Liberty. I'm Tal Staunton. I'm here with Mussy Crutchfield. Hey, you have a new name now, Mussy. And Dr. Faye. Malcolm's around here somewhere too. And we're talking about this top 20 list of how to avoid stress in life. And number six, as Malcolm said just before he went to the break, was not everything needs an immediate reaction. So Dr. Faye, let's bring you in for this one. What do you think? Does everything need to be a knee-jerk or is there another way?
There is another way, because many times people get into this panic mode and they want to pull you in with them. And, you know, two people drowning is just not a good situation. So someone has to step on the outside and put up those barriers. We do need them. I call them protective barriers. It's where it's a safety zone for my own soul. I am not going to let anyone tie up my time 24/7, because then I have nothing left for me. It's the same principle of put the oxygen over yourself before you put it over the child or the person that you're traveling with. Mm-hmm. So you have to save yourself first, because then you'll be empty and you can't serve others. So, and some people don't understand that principle. So we have to put up do not disturb signs, and we have to restrict the clients to, okay, I'll get back with you in 48 hours. I thought 24 was pretty good to ask.
Sometimes I do a 48. It's so important. Missy, what about you?
Well, I couldn't agree more with what Dr. Faye just said. And I was talking to some friends about it not too long ago when you enter the workforce or you take on a new job and you've got all that energy and you want to impress your boss and show up, do everything and above and beyond, right? All of that. We've probably all been there, and that's good to want to do the best. But what happens is then you tell everybody, you tell your boss and those in the workforce that I'm available all the time. You don't have any barriers. You just say, you know, you can use me, you can, it's all right. So what we have to do is say, you know, I'm going to teach them that when they email me, I'm like you say, the 24 hours or the 48 hours, because people will abuse you. They will let you give and just say, you know, thanks, we'll take.
So all the time they're doing that, they're not learning themselves, are they?
Exactly. You know, so you have to protect yourself.
That comes back to the givers and takers, Missy, that you're speaking about.
Yeah.
You know,
there's another really important point with this, is sometimes we need to look at why we are so willing and so desperate to go back straight away. You know, we have that term knee jerk. Sometimes I think we've dropped the D. It's need jerk, and we need to look at why we need to feel needed. But let's take it to point seven, Malcolm. Come on, we've got the ball rolling here.
All right. So, set up some personal office hours in your schedule so you have time to deal with those things you save for later. Now, this I agree with. In personal, and it's not about office, it's personal hours, period. This is any part of your life. So the thing is, sometimes you need those couple of hours to just, to debrief with yourself, you know what I mean? To debrief with yourself, your own mind, yeah? Do you ever talk to your own mind, ladies? I do, yeah.
All the time, which voice?
Exactly. I do it all the time, Taz, yeah. So that's what I get out of number seven, is it's good to set up those times where you can, you know, you just got to step back and think through things. And I know I do that, I have to do that a lot. Number eight, I love the hamster wheel with the hamster running around like a nut job. And number eight is they got a visual in there, you know. Physically slow down. If you feel like a hamster or a gerbil running in a wheel, well, there's a problem. When you act all rushed and frantic, you'll feel that way too. So a lot of times it's just a good idea to breathe a little bit and slow it down. Again, I kind of think this is about taking in the moment, ladies. It's about appreciating that moment of life that you have, that you're with people. This is what I think is one of the most beautiful things of life. And Dr. Faye, I'm going to talk to you on this because I'm going to tell you right now, to me, there's nothing more beautiful than to be hanging with some cool people that you enjoy, you love, to whatever degree that is, whether it's, you know, just having a glass of wine in the afternoon or solving something another day or having a moment to appreciate family and friends or people you really admire or, you know, whatever it is, or like we're doing right now, collecting here, talking on the radio. I mean, it's about loving and experiencing that moment of time. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, in those moments, I was thinking about like going out with some girlfriends and just hanging out. And they're all professionals. They all have their careers, their lives, their families. But in that couple of hours, nobody talked about their kids. Nobody bragged on their husbands. Nobody talked about their careers. You know, we watched a movie and had dinner. And it was a girl time. It was talk. And we need those times. I think because of technology, we have somehow become too reclusive.
Totally.
We've separated ourselves from that human connectedness. Yeah. And we've talked about that over probably a dozen shows right here on America Out Loud. But as we're talking about it, about stress, if we lose our human connectedness, we become more and more stressful because we were designed to have that part of us shared with others, to pour love into other people. So yeah, those are great times, happy times, being here. Every show I've done with the ladies and with you, Malcolm, it's always been a great time. You know, different shows, different gifts and talents. And so yeah, I totally agree. We need to learn how to relax, have fun, kick your shoes off, go to the beach this summer, hang out, and enjoy the gift of the day.
I always use the term work hard, play hard in life. So, and I'm sure you all do that. I'm sure you work hard and then you got to play hard as well, you know? And there is a time to disconnect from this technology business. There's absolutely a time to do that, you know, because it just will overwhelm you if you don't learn to disconnect from it. So what I'm going to do with the list, I'm going to post it in the show post so you can see the entire list, because this was on BuzzFeed, actually. And I want to give a shout out so you know where it came from exactly. And Anna Borges is the one who created this list. I always love to give credit to the bloggers out there and the people who are doing the heavy lifting on this kind of a stuff, you know. So we'll put the whole list on this, but let's go through, pick out your favorite in the last group there, the last 10 ladies, and let's share a couple, two or three of these so we can stand a couple of these points. And of course, I have to say, I love number 14. Make the time you're in a transit as relaxing as possible by listening to, well, I'm going to take podcasts here as the one. Listen to your favorite podcast. Absolutely. We're all over that task. So number 14 is a must. Well, you know, actually, people are getting so smart and so educated through podcasts today. Podcast is so in, and it's become really one of the biggest, it's the fastest growing media source out there, because people they use it as a source of not just entertainment, but education. And they're able to do this on the run. And today we're all on the run, and this podcast goes with you. So that makes it really, really easy. Number 14. What's your favorite one, Missy? What do you got?
They're all wonderful. I just keep thinking, I'm listening to everyone, I just keep thinking about the meditation. I mean, it's in everything. It's just the be in the present, find that moment, be authentic to yourself and your purpose. That's the key to calming the mind and moving forward.
Yeah. Dr. Faye, what's your favorite, love?
Take a nap.
Where's that one? Where's
was that
one?
You snoring earlier, Dr.
Did you make that one up? Did you make that up?
Oh, that wasn't on the list. We'll put it on there.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Oh, yeah.
Take a nap.
I love that. Yeah, I don't see that on the list. You're making shit up now. I got to tell you, man.
Yes.
All right. So you're not.
But that is. It should be on there.
It should be on there, yeah.
Make it number 21.
And I nap sometimes when I start meditating. I doze off. So yeah, I've got both of those in there, I guess.
The nap thing.
Taz, throughout the day, Taz, are you the kind? Do you? Let me ask you. In a given day, do you take naps, Taz?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
At any time through the day, intentional or unintentional?
When I feel knackered.
Okay. All right. So you do take a nap, and. That you
if
feel
I
like
need it, but no more than 20 minutes at a time.
Okay, cool.
Because once you get past 20 minutes, your brain goes into another cycle and you're likely to wake up feeling grumpy. In fact, if you do wake up feeling grumpy, take another 20 minutes and set your alarm and you'll be in a different sleep zone.
Now, the real question, Taz, is have you ever napped while doing this show? Don't answer that, love. Don't answer that, please. That's what I'm afraid of.
I'm sorry,
not at all, Malcolm. I've never done that. I've napped a couple of times. Well, what the hell?
She's so spectacular. And then she wakes up and has these brilliant things to say.
Listen, I like number 20 a lot on this list, and this one, it, to me, is one of the most important ones. Do not forget to take stock of your lifestyle and genuinely ask yourself if you need to make some big changes.
Hallelujah.
This is a big one. You have to be able to step back and ask yourself, you know, it really is about changing up your life. It's not staying, the consistency of being too consistent is another disease, ladies. It's not a good way to move forward. I find, for me, I'm a canoe rocker, so I love to shake things up. So I get restless easy. So for me, as I get to another point of time, it's like, okay, I'm very restless now. It's time to shake it up a little bit, shift it. Does anybody else like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't want to be predictable, Malcolm.
I'm never predictable, love.
Yeah. There's always this element of surprise.
Well, that's the thing. You never know where you're going to go that way. It's the same thing with my conversation. People say, did he really say that? Shit, like hell. Yeah, he really said that. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, he really
You know
said
where that works? Where that works for you, Malcolm, and where you've got it dot on, and this ties into, you know, marketing. There's this big push on the importance of disruptive marketing, where you're doing it right and so many other people are dropping the shoe and making a real mess of it, is you manage to be disruptive without being harmful. So many people think the idea of being disruptive in life, in marketing, in business, is by going out there and shaking things up by bad-mouthing or belittling other people in a similar field. It's not about that. It's about letting your brain be free. It's about coming up with new ideas. It's about being fresh. And that's what this network does beautifully.
Mm. Well, that is...
Applause, applause, applause.
Yeah, that is big time said. That is big time said. But let me add to you, Taz, what you're saying. I'm so with you on this because the word disruption, Taz, is a great word. You know that.
Yeah.
I know that. This is, and I just understand, people, that innovation, moving the ball forward, all the successes you're going to have in your life, and all the things that are happening out there that are worthy, all really come from the point of disruption. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of these professions and industries really begin to track forward. It's that moment of disruption where we look at something and say, you know what? I think we might be able to do this better. You know what? I think we can shake this up just a little bit over here. You know what? Let's try this just because. Hey, that's how we've innovated so many unique things in the world. And so anything good that has happened to probably our lives or what have you have come from disruption, even at the point where you got into your life. Okay, now listen, one of you out there listening, and let's say you're at like one of those low moments. Now, we all go through the potholes of life. Nobody gets away from that. Everybody goes through potholes, people. So instead of feeling sorry for yourself, and we've all been there too. We've all been at those pothole moments where you say, damn, I can't stand. Well, no kidding. But, you know, it's at those moments that teach you a lesson where you can then, it's a disruptive moment in your life. And the reason you don't like it, because it doesn't feel comfortable at the moment. You know, of course it doesn't feel comfortable. How could it? You know, I mean, pain comes with pain. Pain hurts. Yeah. But the way to learn from that pain is this disruptive moment where you say, you know what? There is a better way to do this. So let's do this. But the other thing, Taz, I take with what you say is that we can all do the things we do, but we can still be ladies and gentlemen, Taz Thornton. We don't have to be idiots, you see?
Yeah.
And I think the people, too many people have hijacked the conversation that I call that are the extremists views and outlooks out there. They want it their way, or it is the highway. And they want to argue with, and they want to get nasty, and they want to call names. You know what? I respect opinions, and I respect people's background of opinions and what they are. And it's not necessary that you can't have diverse opinions and friendships. That's how you grow as people. And listen, that's the richness of all of this, people. That's the richness of this show. It's the richness of this platform. It's why we developed Life Liberty. It's because of this richness of bringing these diverse opinions and thoughts together. And, you know, we did it with female companionship here with extraordinary women, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the key. But I like what you say about disruptive and also the platform here and what we're trying to accomplish. I think there's a lot to say about that. And Missy, you've kind of seen this. You've done a lot of media, being with Gandhi's Global Center for Peace and with this idea you have and the work you're doing globally and what have you. You kind of get what we're talking about in a lot of ways, whereas you and I have such great respect, and we have a great diversity of opinions on many things, but my golly, we're friends, we're allies, you're on the partnership, you're doing cool things. I mean, what do you take from that, Missy?
I just, you know, I love the diversity of ideas. I love this show. I love being able to, you know, everyone to speak their mind, speak from their heart, which consistently happens, which just blows me away, because we all are various spectrums and sometimes extremes and sometimes the same. And we understand that it's this life and the love and the respect. And Dr. Faye and I, more often than not, are similar, but then there are times when I'll say something a little out there and she'll go, I'm going to spank you, Missy, or we'll, you know,
right.
Some of the shows, and we laugh and we have this respect, or she'll say something, I'm like, I understand where she's coming from. I'm different, but, you know, this is wonderful and it's beautiful, and isn't it a celebration that we have all of this diversity and these different views, because wouldn't it be boring if everybody thought the same or did the same? So what we're teaching, as well as sharing these brilliant opinions and the amazing women and you, Malcolm, that the listeners are being introduced to, but we're teaching them about respect and just how life is just this moving target, and enjoy it.
It is. Yeah. It is totally that, Missy. Yeah. It is a moving target. We do need to enjoy it, and we need to be respectful of each other always. We need to be ladies and gentlemen, and we need to honor who we are in ourselves. I honor each of you with these big ideas and thoughts you have, and the fact that you you so get it. The one beautiful commonality, I don't know how we've done it here. I still don't know how we've done it. But how we brought together such amazing voices and just people on this show and this platform as a whole is beyond my comprehension, ladies. I mean, I don't know how it happened, but it happened. And therefore, we have a unique family of people that are out for the betterment of life and out for, you know, to improve it for everybody. So I think there's a lot of lessons you can all take from this conversation today. There's a lot of lessons you can take from all of this, life lessons. It is a 400 trillion to one opportunity, friends, that you were born and that you were here. And you call that what, Taz Thornton?
I call that an evolutionary miracle, and we need to embrace it.
The evolutionary miracle. It's a lottery, is what she said. It's a life. You already won the lottery, people. You already won it. You didn't have to put a buck down or nothing. If you're breathing and living and you're here, you're a miracle. And we're all miracles.
And you have opposable thumbs. Think about that.
That's it, Taz. Yeah, that's it. We all are a miracle in our own right. So I want you all to really pull the positive you can from this conversation. I wish all of you and just every one of you out there listening the best opportunities ahead, and to take everything you can and just make this the greatest journey you can. And anywhere we can help you along the way, friends, our email address here is talk@AmericaOutloud.com. talk@AmericaOutloud.com. The ladies' connection points are all on America Out Loud. Just go to the nav bar, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, Season 2, and you'll find all the connection points. Please engage. We're here on this journey, and we're loving it. We're also getting excited for some other opportunities we'll have on the platform just ahead. Thank you again today for being part of this journey here. Taz Thornton, Dr. Faye Wilson, Missy Crutchfield, this is Malcolm Out Loud, to be continued, friends.